Perfect setup. I want to talk to you this morning about what I'm calling the nexus between potential, purpose, and sacrifice. The word nexus is simply a fancy way for saying connection. The connection between potential, purpose, and sacrifice. Now, in that clip that you just saw, I don't know if you know some of the, whenever they do these things with Geico, there's always these nuances on words. For instance, the one, I'll tell you what this one is in just a minute. But do you know the one where the cowboy is riding off? Do you know what the name of that one is? Words can hurt you. Do you get it? As he's riding off and he hits the letter, words can hurt you. This one is about the word knows. Did you know that Pinocchio was a bad motivational speaker? Everybody knows that. Oh, whatever. You got to see these things. You got to work with them a little bit. You got to see them. So anyways, I want to talk to you about the connection between potential, purpose, and sacrifice. By definition, the word potential means qualities or abilities, or we could say attitudes or aptitudes that may be developed and lead to future success and usefulness. Someone also tried to define potential as what you can do but have not done. I'd like to offer to you the third and what I consider the best definition in light of the context we're talking about it here this morning. It's how far you can go, not alone, but with God. So when we're talking about potential, contrary to that clip that you just saw here this morning, I can honestly point to everybody in this room this morning and say, you have potential. And my nose isn't growing long. It's not, I promise. It's not growing long. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say to them, as honestly as you can, you have potential. Now turn to your other neighbor and say that. All right, thank you. You see, part of the underlying fruit from trying to convince people that we are no different than animal species, when evolution or some form of evolution gets taught, what's at the root of that is that it digs away at the image of God. It digs away at the potential that God has deposited in each one of our lives. You and I did not evolve from pond scum someplace. We were made in the image of God. I so much appreciate it. I had no idea what your treasures theme, but that whole thing that you just showed, that clip, is essentially my sermon. We are treasures of God. And here's the really cool thing about it. Because we're made in the image of God, you see, God is like unlimited potential. That's why the Bible can say that we can't even begin to imagine or think about who he really is and what he's really like. He is so far above and beyond our even ability to think about that. And it's why Jesus said that nothing is impossible with God. So it's from that Godhead, it's from that source that he created mankind. It's in his image we have been created. And so you and I, each of us, have been created with incredible, tremendous potential. I'd like to introduce you to somebody this morning. Maybe some of you have seen him or heard of him before, but his name, and I want to make sure I pronounce it right, so I spelled it on my sheet here phonetically. His name is Nick Vujicic. Some of you I'm hearing, oh yeah, I've heard. I want to show you a picture of him. That's Nick. Now, Nick, for those of you who don't know, Nick is a, he labels himself as a, some people see him as an inspirational speaker, but he considers himself an evangelist from Australia that right now is currently ministering to thousands upon thousands of people across the world. He's been in over 44 countries, and the people, there's literally been millions of people touched by this guy's ministry. Now, the thing I haven't told you yet is that Nick doesn't have any arms or legs. No arms and no legs. I'd like you to watch another clip. I'm sorry. I don't like to. I know you didn't come to watch TV on Sunday morning, but I want to show you another quick clip, and I want you to hear this guy's testimony very quickly, okay? It's about 3 minutes.
Born in Australia without arms or legs, 30-year-old Nick Vujicic has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding.
That you were able to do that.
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box in your show. Yeah. And I know that you love illustration. So if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll be powerful?
Go
Is that
right
cool?
Ahead.
You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I got to show you. Come. This step right here, is there enough light here?
Okay.
The chemistry. I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain, but what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good.
Yeah.
Man, the connections. I want to tell Porsche, look, I'm a guy, I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? and I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Yeah. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection. Yeah. For me in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to get married. I can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I going to have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love him. Man, this is a little bit high. I'm going to break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right.
I'm going to break my arm.
Circumstances, being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Do your best and God will do the rest. And then consciousness, because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ and the renewing of my mind,
wow.
I knew that I could be unstoppable.
I really want to encourage you, if you're having a bad day someday, watch this guy for a while. It will pull you right out of whatever pit you find yourself in. His message is just off the charts. It's very, 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 very good. Anyways, he has a ministry called Life Without Limits. And this guy is like an extreme example of taking what, you know, we would consider not having a whole lot of potential and totally maximizing that in an incredible way. Most of us tend to think too small. We tend to pray too small, believe too small, live too small. And many times we're believing lies like God may be able to do that for or through someone else, but he can't do that for or through me. And that kind of thinking or believing that kind of lie really has a way of limiting what potential can actually come about through our lives. It'll keep us from reaching our full potential. Many of us have been kind of inundated with past failures, implanted perceptions of who we are, opinions of others, or even direct lies from the devil that have caused us to feel unvalued. And when you feel unvalued, you're diminishing your potential. Let me say that again. When you're feeling devalued or of less worth, it really minimizes your potential. But I'm going to say to us this morning, regardless of what other people have said about you or to you or you've thought about yourself, do you know the only real opinion that matters is God's? I want you to consider this illustration this morning. I have, and this is very rare for me to have a $20 bill in my pocket, but I knew I needed it, so that's why I put it in my pocket. I want you to consider this $20 bill here this morning. This $20 bill is currently in my possession. But at some point, it will leave my possession and it will go into the ownership of someone else. A $20 bill that belonged to someone else before it belonged to me. Are you with me so far? Wouldn't it be interesting to know where this $20 bill has been before I got it? And wouldn't it be further interesting to know where is this bill going to go as it leaves my possession? She said she would take it. Maybe. You know, I was reading an article one time about currency and money, and one of the things that I found out was that law enforcement officers say that a lot of the $20 bills that we handle actually have trace cocaine on them. Here's what I want you to hear. Is this $20 bill before I received it could have been used for who knows what? To buy. Right? Who knows what this bill went through before I became in possession of it. And who knows where this bill will go after it leaves my possession. It may be used for something nefarious or it may be used for something good. But do you know what? Regardless of where this $20 bill has been and regardless where this $20 bill goes, do you know what doesn't change about it? Its value. Its value has been determined by the United States Treasury. And the same thing applies to your life and to my life. We've been a lot of places. We've been through a lot of junk. And who knows what lies in front of us. But it doesn't diminish the fact that God finds value in our life. And because we have value to him, we have potential. I don't know if you're quite getting it yet. We have value to him, incredible value. Listen, Jesus Christ did not die to give us value. He died because we have value to him. He didn't wake up one day and say, you know what? I think it'd be a really nice thing for me to do because it'd make them feel a whole lot better about their lives if I went down there and died for them. He looked out at mankind and he said, this is my treasure. This is my possession. This is the people that I made, that I love. And because they're in the predicament they're in, I want to go and I want to sacrifice my life on their behalf so that they can know the value that they have. It's only God's opinion that really matters. You know, think about some people. I'm going to talk about some other people in the Bible in just a minute. But one person I was immediately came to my mind is Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament. You know, there was something about Saul of Tarsus that God saw that other people didn't see. You know, Saul of Tarsus, for those of you who don't know his story in the book of Acts, he was the guy who was somewhere in ranks of leadership giving permission to kill the early Christians. In fact, in Acts, it says he actually observed some of the stonings. He was there watching Stephen be stoned. But God saw something in that man, something in that person that says, I can use him. And God, through a really incredible circumstance, God arrested that man, if you will, or caused that man to not be able to deny who he was. And he went from being Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. And 2/3 of your New Testament is written by a guy that even the early church wanted to write off. Even after he got saved, they weren't really sure what to do with him. Because they didn't see the potential that he had. Potential is a huge issue in all of our lives, and it's really only God's opinion that matters. And God believes you have a ton of potential. Now, as I said, I want to connect some dots for us here this morning. Potential is kind of the first dot that I'm looking at, but the thing that unlocks potential in any of our lives is faith. You have to have faith. You have to actually believe what I'm trying to say to you this morning. You have to believe it, not just say, oh, yeah, well, that's a nice sermon. But not for me. You have to say, God sees my life. And regardless of where I've been, as I said, or where the days ahead may lead me, God sees my life and he sees that I have potential, tremendous potential. Somebody once said, you know, where is the richest landmass on planet Earth? And somebody suggested probably over in the Middle East where below the land is pools and pools and pools of oil. Somebody else said, I think it's South Africa because of the diamond mines there. That's probably the richest landmass in the world. And this article went on to say, no, the richest landmass is every cemetery you drive by. Because every cemetery, there lies people that potential was never really realized. Tons of potential. God potential. Things that God saw for people. Things the way God saw people and how their lives would play out. And a lot of that was untapped. Anyways, faith accesses potential. It unlocks the door. It unlocks the door to see the power and purposes of God realized in our lives. Once you start believing that God can actually work through your life and that you have tremendous potential, now you can actually begin to access the purpose for which God put you on planet Earth. Potential defined is, let me see, where am I at here? Whoop. Okay, here's purpose. Here we are. The reason for which someone or something is done, made, or used. That's the definition of purpose. I immediately thought of this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works with God prepared in advance for us to do. Your life matters. My life matters. Look to your neighbor and tell them, you have potential. Your life matters. Each of us Each of us has been stationed here on planet Earth. We've been stationed here on planet Earth to worship God. And one of the, there's a variety of ways, obviously, that that happens. But one of the primary ways that that happens, our worship of God, is by being a good gift to other people. God has put you on planet Earth to be a good gift to other people. He has filled your life with incredible potential. He has a purpose and plan for your life, and part of that purpose and plan is that you would see yourself as being a good gift to others. You know, so often when we talk about purpose, everybody is quickly runs to, especially young people, they quickly run to try to diagnose what career it is that God has called them to, and there's certainly merit to doing that. But I want to suggest to you this morning, when I talk to you about purpose this morning, this is way bigger than your career. You see, your career is just one of the stations for you as you go through life. It's not the only station. When we talk about the purposes of God for our life, we're talking about not just career, but we're talking about us being a good gift to a potential spouse or to the spouse that we have now. That's part of the purpose of God in my life, is that I might be a good gift to Jody and Jody might be a good gift to me. Part of God's purpose for my life is that I would be a good gift to my neighbor. Yeah, the person who lives right next door. I was blessed this past week to get to, we were talking about, wasn't it last week or a week before? Sometime we just recently we were talking about how cheap I am. But anyways, we were talking about, was that last week? We were talking about cheap. Anyways, I have never bought a new lawnmower. And this past week, I rely on other people to use them partially, and then I finish them off, right? So this week, I got a new lawnmower. Now, I want to say, no, hold on. Not new as in brand new. Just a different lawnmower, right? Just a different one. Just a different one. I came upon this deal, and because this person, this neighbor, if you will, was a good gift to me, it gave me a deal that was incredible, I still had a lawnmower that was fairly good. So I thought, you know, what can I do to bless somebody else, to cause that to be a good gift to somebody who my lawnmower would actually be an upgrade from the one that they have? All I had to do was look at my neighbor. Right up, just up the street. There's a look at my, he was out there, he's got an old push thing and it's not working so good, blowing smoke out and this and everything. And I thought, you know, this is an opportunity to be a good gift to somebody. It wasn't about the lawnmower. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't about the lawnmower. It's about the purposes of God being fleshed out in my life. And the Lord leading me to say, I want you to be a good gift to your neighbor. You there? Yes. A good gift to your neighbor. It's about you being a good gift to your children. That's the purposes of God. It's not just about your career. It's about you being a good gift to your community, the one that where you live in. It's about being you a good gift to the church that you attend. It's about you being a good gift to wherever you do life. You have tremendous potential, each and every person in this room. And not only do you have potential, but that potential will be unvisited, unrealized, if you don't see that God has purposes, greater purposes for your life, to release this potential that's inside you too. I read this week, here's a phrase I really like, I don't know who wrote it, but I really liked how they kind of used some play on words here. It says simply this: we were made to live on purpose. God made us in such a way that purpose is part of that thing in our life that fuels us. You know, when God formed up man and woman out of the clay, out of the dust, and he put them there, did you notice the next thing he did after he brought life to them? I've got something for you to do. I want you to go over here and tend to this garden, you know, take care of this, plant that, be fruitful, multiply, do this, that. He created us because, and he created us in such a way that we need purpose. Yes. He's put potential in there. We're capable, we're able, more than we even realize. But not just are we capable or able, but he said, I got some stuff for you to do. Stuff he's prepared in advance before you landed on planet Earth. Purpose. But one of the things that I've always realized is that once you start engaging and fulfilling your potential and accessing the purposes of God for your life, the next thing that comes along is sacrifice. And that's where most people get off the train. Let me say that again. Everybody likes to talk about, oh, that's so good. I need to hear that I have potential. That's awesome. Oh, and God has a purpose and plan for my life. Oh, that's awesome too. I'm really glad for that. But I can tell you, as you find yourself moving in that direction, it's going to require some sacrifice. Did he just say sacrifice? Yes. It's going to require sacrifice in order for your full potential and for you to access the purpose and do the purposes of God the way God sees it. Now, I want to give you just a really quick story about my life. And I may have told this somewhere along the way over the years. But, you know, when Jody and I first were dating and whatnot, she was talking about going to Bible school. And I think I've told you that, you know, I felt there was some people put some calls on my life and so forth and so on, things like that. But anyways, I remember this day I will never forget in my life. You see, I was born and raised in Pennsylvania, and my family and I had been on some vacations before, but let me just say, I hadn't gone very far from home. You know, we hadn't ventured out. I hadn't ventured out at all. So we'd made the decision. I made the decision, yes, I'm going to follow my wife to Bible school. I made that decision, or my future wife to Bible school. So I ended up at Bible school. But the 2 days, I think it was 1 or 2 days before we were actually leaving, there was a dirt road that went behind my mom and dad's house. And back in that part of the woods there was like my sanctuary. That was like, that's where I grew up back there. And did I tell you I'd not been very far away from home? I walked down that road crying like a little baby because I hadn't even left home to get homesick yet. I was just thinking about leaving home and I was homesick. And I'm walking down that dirt road and I'm crying and I'm saying, Lord, if I have to leave home, I don't want to leave home. But if I have to leave home, I'm willing to leave home if this is what you've called me to do. Now, that may seem like nonsense to you. And everybody's threshold is different. I get that. But at that time in my life, that was like you were ripping my heart out here. But I'm telling you, I would not be here today. Listen to what I'm saying. I would not be here today if I was unwilling to leave that dirt road. You understand what I'm trying to say? If I was not willing to look beyond the forest and the trees of my comfort zone, I would never be here in Arcade, New York. It would never have happened. So whenever you look at potential being realized and purpose being online with where God's taken you, it will in some way, shape, or form require an element of sacrifice. Now, when I think of sacrifice beyond this definition, here's what I think sacrifice is like. Those of us who grew up in roller rinks, I know people nowadays don't spend a whole lot of time, but baby boomers, roller rinks, that was about the most excitement you could find, at least in our hometown. So, do you remember those of us who are old enough, and some of you, the younger ones, have probably heard this before. Do you remember when you go to the roller rink? Our church used to rent the roller rink. There was always, this is down in Bradford, Pennsylvania, they would always, you know, they'd have the special, you know, with the lights out and all that stuff. But somewhere along the evening, whenever you do it, they would always do the hokey pokey. Do you remember that? On roller skates. Do you remember the hokey pokey? Yeah, okay. You younger folks, do you know the hokey pokey? Okay. So you all know, you all got around the circle, right? At the roller rink. You're just trying to stand up at this point, right? Not fall down. You're all around there in the circle, and so they crank up the music. And you remember how the song goes, right? You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in.
Shake it
Okay, that's enough. They know it too well, okay? They know that too well. So anyways, at one point in the song, right? At one point in the song, and when you get towards the end, right? What happens? You put your whole self in. You put your whole self out. You put your whole self in. Yeah. You know. Yeah. One too many roller rinks right there, folks. Sacrifice is about putting your whole self in. Right? It's about not just putting your hand in, well, there, you know, you can have this hand. Sacrifice, as God sees it anyways, it's about putting your whole self in and not taking your whole self out. It's like, okay, I'm staying in there, because you're never going to see these things, the things that God has made you for, and many times our hearts long for, if we're not putting our whole self in. It's going to require an element of sacrifice, being all in. Is a way of defining that. Paul wrote this. He said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. He wants us to think about this idea of a living sacrifice as we're looking at the incredible grace and mercy of God. And I just want to say to us this morning that living sacrifices, see, some people would like to go back to the old way of doing things where you offer dead sacrifices. You know why? Because that's a whole lot easier to just go out and get a sheep or a goat or a chicken or a bird and whatnot. It isn't a whole lot of skin off your back. It might be a little bit of money. Living sacrifices are a whole lot harder. Because living indicates life. A living sacrifice is the person who goes through their everyday life and says, Lord, whatever I can do today, however my life can be used in a way to serve you, I'm all in. I'm all in. And a lot of times that'll happen at your job. A lot of times it happens wherever you are. You're offering, you're saying, Lord, I believe I have potential. I believe you have a purpose and plan for my life, and I'm all in. Whatever it is, however you want to use me, whatever you want to do through my life, I'm all in. As I was thinking about this and I was looking at some of the patterns of people in the Bible, I was like, God, this is the way you do it with everybody. I can't even think of an exception to this. And I went way back towards the beginning of the Bible. And I thought about Abraham. You know, here's a guy just minding his own business out there, you know, living in his comfort zone, doing what he feels comfortable doing, and God shows up. And God begins to talk to him about his potential. He begins to talk to him about his purpose. But then he says to him, in order for you to see this realized, you need to leave your homeland. And I'm going to take you to a place where I will show you. So there he is, just a guy. Abraham's just a guy. The Bible, you know, obviously we build him into this incredible man of faith, which he was, but initially he was just a guy. He was just a man. If you go to the next one, there's probably more in between, but next one I was thinking of is Moses. There's Moses. He's raised in royalty, right? Rescued out of the weeds of the river, and then taken to the Pharaoh's palace, raised in royalty. Some things happened. If you've watched the recent Exodus movie, they take a lot of license to kind of develop what possibly would have went on with Moses there. But anyways, he finds himself, after a series of events, living out in the wilderness. The Bible puts it the backside of the desert. He's just a guy on the backside of the desert. He's tending sheep for his father-in-law, right? And there he is, just a regular old guy. And God shows up. God saw the potential in this guy. And he says, I see, here's how I want to use you. You can do it. And what's Moses' response? Who am I? Who am I? Then he comes up with all these excuses like, I can't talk right. I can't. And God convinces him, you have potential here, buddy. I've got a plan and a purpose for your life. Just cooperate with me. But to cooperate with him meant some sacrifice on Moses' part. You can go through David's life. You know, the interesting thing about David's life is David saw more potential in his life than other people did. David knew the inner workings of God and what God was up to in his life. And when it came time to see him as anointed as the next king of Israel, you know, they checked out all of his brothers and Samuel said, well, no, not him, not him, not him, not him. There must be another one. You got another son. I know it's one of your sons. Well, yeah, we got the youngster. He's out in the back there someplace. Nobody else saw potential in David. When David stepped forward, God put his hand on his life. But it required some sacrifice. Do you know David lived the good first portion of knowing God, how God wanted to use him, running for fear of his life? Peter's a great New Testament example. If there was anybody who knew his potential or thought he knew his potential, it was Peter. Peter, as we talk about around Easter, didn't fare real well in the first test. But thank God that wasn't the end of the story. Jesus still saw incredible potential in Peter's life. He went back to him, right? Remember the whole story there by the seashore? He goes back to him. He says, Peter, do you love me? And they go have this exchange back and forth. You know, I like you, I love you, I guess. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And for us, we just hear that and go, oh, this will be. But Peter's thinking of his incredible sacrifice because his next comment is, well, what about him? What's he got to do? It seems like whether it's these Old Testament characters, anybody that was in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11, Hall of Faith, the fame, in Hebrews chapter 11, it seems like they've gone through all the same crucible where they didn't understand the incredible potential that they had to be used by God. And once God revealed that to them and their purpose, how God was going to work with them and use them, and they injected faith into the picture there, and they went through some different trials and frustrations and whatnot. But in the end, God, because of their heart, they were all in. They were all in. They were willing to put their whole self in. God used them in incredible ways. And then I thought about it. I thought, you know, there's no greater example than these connecting the dots here this morning than the communion table and what it represents. I thought about, you know, here is, you know, I was preparing this stuff this week, and I don't even know if it's right to say God has potential, because it's like, wait a minute, potential is being developed and so on. He's like fully formed, right? Like, but anyways, you know, God saw the incredible ability here for him to correct our problem. Right? He's in heaven and he's seeing people trying to relate to him at a distance. And, you know, there's this huge gap between us and him. And he's looking at, we got to fix this. We got to resolve this problem. And Jesus willingly, at the Father's asking, says, listen, I see the potential, and I'm willing to put my whole self in to fix the problem. For this purpose, the Bible says in 1 John, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. To destroy what the enemy had messed up and what the enemy wants to do in people's lives. Jesus Christ was put on planet Earth for the express purpose of destroying all that and rebuilding life as it should be. Jesus said, I came for the purpose of seeking and saving the lost. We want to share in the Lord's table this morning, but this morning I'm going to ask the elders if they'll come forward as we serve it to you this morning, but as in the worship team too. I want you to think about the table this morning. I always try to come at it from a little bit different angle. And as we share in this morning, I want you to think, maybe you came here this morning unaware of the incredible potential that God has placed in your life. Well, I want you to see this table this morning as a place where you're being reminded that God, you are valued by God. You are valued by Him, and because you are valued, you have potential. But not just that. God, this table reminds us he not only had a purpose for Jesus Christ, but He has a purpose for our lives. You are not here on accident. You are not here by coincidence. The God who knows the beginning to the end has got you here on planet Earth at this period in time for a very real reason. Strategically, you are here for a reason. But for us to fully embrace what all that means and for us to access that, this table also reminds us that we got to be all in. We got to put our whole selves in. Not just an arm, not just a head and shake that around a little bit. We got to put our whole self in order to see not just potential and the purposes of God, but His utter plan for our lives realized. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to the end. I've met way too many people who get to the end of their life and say, you know, I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I wish I would have embraced the Lord earlier in my life, or I wish I would have. You know, I've met people over the years say, I know God called me to be a pastor when I was a young boy, and now they're taking their last breath. I wish I would have followed through with that. I'm just sensing like God wants this morning anyways. He wants us to realize that life that He's made for us is more than just a rut that we're trying to stay in. It's more than just, you know, trying to put boundaries up and stay in those boundaries. No, this is an incredible adventure that He's got us on. And this adventure is filled with all kinds of meaning and purpose. And more, I'm standing here today and I don't feel like I've fully accessed all my potential. I don't feel like I've fully accessed all my purpose. I think God's still in the process of unfolding that. And some of you who are here older and you're thinking, well, I'm retiring. I'm just here. You know, I just put my feet up now and coast. I'm telling you, there is a purposeful potential workforce for the kingdom of God. You realize, you know, when Tom Britt and I remember him saying to me, he retired as a school teacher, he said, I hope I don't get bored. You aren't bored. Listen, it opens up, especially retired folks, opens up a whole new avenue to see the purposes of God fulfilled in your life. All I know is that you have potential. You have potential. And my nose is not growing when I say that. And God just wants you to fully embrace that idea, that notion that God can use you even more than you're being used right now. In ways that you maybe can't even imagine for your life. It's okay to dream. Father, I thank You that we're just not putting in our days here. That we're not just putting in our time. There's not biding time till, you know, we see our kids raised and then our grandkids raised. Then we somehow, you know, we check out. Lord, everybody in this auditorium here this morning, everybody in this sanctuary, you have seen from the beginning their incredible value and potential. To be a good gift to other people. Lord, when we wake up in the morning, rather than thinking, you know, oh, I got to go do this. Lord, may we wake up in the morning and capture that. where we say to our, we say to you, we say to ourselves, you know, how is God going to use me today? How, what are the unique, really cool ways that God is going to work with my life today? And then we say to him, we say, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in. I got both feet in. I know there's going to be some sacrifice involved in that. Maybe my time won't work out just the way I want to today, but I want to be used by you in whatever way I can be and should be today. Whether it's at the grocery store, or whether it's, you know, talking to my neighbor, or whether, how can my life be a good gift to other people today? You know, I got to tell you guys this morning, some of my best ministry happens after I take my pastor collar off. When I'm not in the formal functioning role of doing the career stuff, the vocational stuff. I just think God has so much more for each one of us than maybe what we're currently realizing. And this morning we're coming to his table to say, Lord, I'm in. I'm in again. I'm in again. I'm going to ask as they serve it to you this morning that you'll wait until you've received the piece of bread or cracker, their wafer, till everybody's been served. Then we're going to come back and just pray for a moment before we share in it together, and the same will happen when we do the cup. Scott's going to lead us in some worship while the emblems are being served.
Forever, it's not enough. Cause you gave your life away. You gave your life away. You gave your life away for me. Your grace has broken every chain. My sins are gone, my debt's been paid. You gave your life away.
Jesus on one occasion was talking about the value, the issue of value, and he was talking about a man who discovered a treasure in a field. And he went and sold everything he had so he could go and buy that field and thus receive the treasure. He was all in. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that that's exactly what you did. You saw in us a treasure. You saw in us something incredibly valuable and of worth. And you went and sold all that you had to buy that field. Thank you for the incredible sacrifice that you made so that we can know, not that we can have, but so that we can know that we have value. So often, Lord, as I'm working with people, they're like, I don't know if I feel loved or valued or appreciated and whatnot. Lord, you did everything you could to make us feel worth. And this morning, as we observe your table, that's the very essence of it. It's the very symbol of it. You gave not just a good sermon. You gave your body, everything you had. You gave your life because we were so valuable to you. Lord, I pray as each of us ingest this little piece of cracker that we will be ingesting our value and worth this morning, afresh, anew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Let's partake together.
Survey the wondrous cross.
Lord Jesus, thank you for being all in. We know there was a moment there when, whether for your sake or our sake, Lord, you had that scene of asking your Father if somehow we could get by this. And you said those very words, not my will, but your will be done. You were all in to the very last breath when you said, it is finished. The restoration is finished. Lord, thank you for restoring our lives. Thank you for taking our lives that had no real meaning or value or purpose and giving us something to live for. Someone once wrote, the author is unknown. Someone once wrote, if you haven't found something to die for, then you really haven't found something to live for. Thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you for what you did. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read to you this morning. I've mentioned on a couple of occasions about Hebrews chapter 11, about some of the people in there that, you know, God saw incredible potential in their lives and he had a purpose and plan for them. And as I mentioned, each one of them had a level of sacrifice. But after that chapter comes to an end, chapter 12 in Hebrews says this: therefore, since we have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Sometimes those hindrances and the sin, you know, we're always looking at all these gross sins, but sometimes the biggest sin is when you and I think less of ourselves than we should. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and this is what I want you to hear, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus fulfilled his potential, his purpose, through obviously a sacrifice of incredible proportion. But that same motif, that same plan, obviously fleshed out in different ways, is the same thing that God has for you and for I. The joy of knowing that we are accomplishing what the Lord has laid out for us. Scott, are we going to sing one on the way out? I can pray and then we can sing. How's that?
Sure.
Why don't you stand with us this morning? Father, thank you this morning for reminding us that you love us and you see us as having more value than we see in ourselves. Change our thinking about that, Lord. Not that we would get high on ourselves, but let us see, God, that you see more in us than we see in ourselves. And help us to access that by faith. Help us to step out in different ways for the purposes, the plans and purposes you've called us to. And when we come to those moments when it just doesn't feel comfortable, may we say the same thing Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Use us, we pray, in Jesus' name, even in this week ahead, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Scott, what do you got for us here?
I thought we'd go back to one of the songs we did earlier. It's called Freedom, and I just get this image in my mind of a prisoner.